You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Numbers 13. I want to continue teaching on victory, overcoming. Been teaching on that for actually several services and just hitting it at different angles and different ways. We taught on from victory to victory. Sunday morning, that life is not one struggle after another. Life is one victory after another. Life's not one test after another. Life is one testimony after another. You know, there's several ways you can look at it. Life's not one crisis after another. Life is one deliverance after another. Hallelujah. Seems like I'm always having crisis. Well, it seems like you're always getting delivered. Sound like to me. Sound like God's coming through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Psalms 34:19 tells us. And so there's two perspectives or ways of looking at things. You can look at the struggle and look at the trial, or you can look at the victory that comes from the struggle. Sure, there's struggle. We're not in heaven. We're in the earth, and the earth is a fallen place, and we have an enemy, the devil, and things aren't perfect down here. But one thing for sure, if we'll believe God, we can come through. Now, doesn't mean it's all over once you win a battle. Well, no, there's going to be another one. There's going to be another one. As long as you're here, they keep having battles, just like as long as you're in school, you're going to keep having tests. Hello. But the object in school is to continually pass those tests. You go from passing one test to passing another test. Hello. I mean, you don't get in there and say, well, I've been in school for 10 years and here we've got another test coming. How many tests are we going to have? Well, no, you keep having tests. That's what school's about. Are you with me? It's not, you know, in the life, it's not God testing. It's not God doing things to you. It's actually God providing the help that you need. It's God giving the provision. It's God giving the victory. We know who the enemy is, and that's very plain. We know who the tempter is. That's pretty plain talk also. The tempter is the devil. But don't give up when you go into another battle. Don't throw the towel in once you've had a victory and then something else happens. Don't fall in that trap of, oh, here we go again. Oh, not another one. Get excited. Count it all joy when you fall into many diverse temptations. Why? Because you're going to win. Praise God, we're going to have another testimony. Hallelujah. Going to have another victory. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to have something to talk about when this is all over. Things are looking right for a miracle. Amen. It's about the perspective that you come to it with. It's not necessarily what's happening and what you're seeing out here. It's the way you see it. It's the angle you look at it from. It's the lens or glasses that you wear when you look at this thing. This is a perfect example in Numbers 13. Of the way that we look. We often talk about what we see, but we don't talk about how we see it. That went over real big. Maybe you're chewing on that. But you know, in life, we all see basically the same things, but not everybody sees it the same way. Or from the same perspective or paradigm. Often that's a big word often used. It's your perspective. It's the lens that you're looking through. And whatever you're looking through is going to taint or color what you see on the other side. Unless it's a great lens and a perfect lens and an exact lens. And of course, the only way you're going to find that is in God. That's why we need to look at things through Him and from His perspective. I think it's C.S. Lewis. I know it was. C.S. Lewis said this: I don't believe in the sun so much because I see it, but because of it, I see everything else. And so when you think of God in that perspective, we don't always see God. But I tell you, since we know God and believe in God, from that standpoint, we see and understand everything else. And it's only since I've gotten saved that I began to walk in the light and see the light. So I hadn't just seen Him. I began to see everything else through Him. All of a sudden, I got the right lens on. Amen. In Numbers 13, this is the account of Kadesh Barnea, where the 12 spies went out and spied out the land. And Moses sent them out by the command of God. I mean, I've heard preachers say, well, he messed up when he sent those spies out. But the Bible says God told him to do it. Are you with me? And so he just, by the command of God, sent them out. In fact, this is what it says, the 13th chapter, first verse. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Now let's don't glaze over this or just run through this and not think about it. These spies were not just common men. These spies were just not men picked out at random. These were actually leaders and rulers of the tribe. They were the princes of the tribes. In other words, one tribe got together and says, pick your prince, pick your ruler, who is the head man, we want him. So they carried a lot of weight, carried a lot of influence. And there was a reason for that. God wanted them to go out and come back because they knew that people would follow their leader, the head, the prince, the prince of the tribe. So these were not just men that were spies. We think about what they did in spying, but they were chosen because of their leadership, because of their following, because they were the rulers and the heads of their tribes. Hello? Okay. So it says here, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Now this is the basis or foundation for victory right here. First of all, what does God say? God's promise is the basis or foundation of our success. Success here, well, it's guaranteed. Victory was not in question. It was not victory. Whether they're going to win or not, whether they're going to get the land or not, was not a question. That was not what they were going out there to see. God was giving them the land. I mean, in all honesty, they were going out there to get their battle plan together, get their strategy together. Winning, they're going to win. God said He'd give it to them. Hello. They didn't go into the land to see if they could have the land. God gave them the land. They went into the land to see what kind of land it was, what kind of people were there, whether they're strong or weak, whether they're walled cities or, you know, what kind of cities there were, and so on and so forth. And so the basis of our success and victory is not what's happening in life. It's not what we see in life. Whether we make it or not should be based on what God promises before we ever look at anything. Hello? Whether we succeed or not has to do with what we believe before we start an endeavor. Whether we make it or not, it starts at the very beginning. How do we start this thing? We start this thing out with, first of all, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we got election coming up, presidential election coming up. I can remember good presidents and bad presidents in my lifetime. Sometimes we get all discouraged when we look at the arena of candidates. Sometimes we look at that and say, oh my God, there's no hope. There's nobody I can vote for. You know, sometimes that is the case. I mean, you know, that I can really stand behind and get behind. What are we going to do? Listen, I remember years when we had ungodly presidents, and yet I remember people got saved in church during that regime. I remember people got filled with the Holy Ghost during that time. I can remember prayers that got answered. During the worst presidents that we've ever had in my lifetime, I can remember when God still was God and the Bible was still true and I still made it. And you can too. Now, doesn't mean throw caution in the wind, don't vote, don't get involved. Of course not. Sure, you need to get involved in the process. You're a citizen of the United States of America. You ought to vote. You ought to pray. Your vote does count. Do the best you can. Pick the lesser of two evils or the evil of two lessers. I don't know. But vote. But don't let any of that determine your faith or for the future. Hello. I hope your faith for the future is in God and His Word and not everything else going on out in the world. Amen? Okay. So, He picked these men out, supposedly leaders. They were leaders. Everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, third verse, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. See, he's emphasized that twice. He's already said that. They were heads. They were rulers. They were princes, some translation says. They were leaders amongst their group. Carried a lot of influence, a lot of clout. I mean, people were listening to them. They were the ones that God sent out to find out about the land and come back and tell the people. They had a tremendous responsibility on them because people are just going to do what they told them, and they were going to know what they told them, and that's all, because everybody didn't go in, just these 12 did. So He picked out influential men that people respected. I mean, it was a bad thing children of Israel did crater on this deal. But I'll tell you, what's real bad is that their leaders led them into it. And you and I have influence in life, and that's why it's so important that we serve God, and so important that we trust God, and so important that we stand in faith, because there's always people looking to us. There's always people that are listening to us. Sometimes we're the ones that went into the land and spied it out and came back and told everybody about it. In one sense, these are kind of like preachers. Preachers get in the Word, they spy out the land of the Word, the land of promise, the promised land. They come back and tell you about the promises. And a lot of them will stand right up here and say, you can't have this. Yeah, just like some of these 10 spies that said they couldn't have what God said they could have. God forbid I'd stand here after having delved into it, spied into it, looked at the fruit of the land, come back and tell you, I know what God says here, but I'll tell you what, I just don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think you can have that. Hello? Kind of gets it down there where we live, doesn't it? When you think of it that way. But we're the same way. When we go into the Word of God and come back and report, be careful that we don't throw something in there God didn't throw in there. That we don't add something to it that God didn't add to it. If God said you can have it, you can have it. If God said you can do it, you can do it. Amen. Amen. And we who have spied out and looked into this thing, we need to come back with a good... We need to be some Calebs and some Joshuas.
That's right.
And not these other 10 people. As influential as they were, as leaders and princes and heads of the tribes as they were, still, they had abused their power. They really abused their power. They had polluted a sacred trust, as it were. Their position and leadership. They should have led those people into the Canaan land. They should have led them into faith in God. They should have led them into trusting the Lord. And yet they just fell apart. Because they didn't go into it with the right perspective. They didn't have the right attitude. We need to have an attitude of victory. Are you with me? I can win this. I can make it. I can do this. See, God's looking for can-do people. He's looking for people that, you know, that believe Him and trust Him. And then He'll tell them what to do, but they've got to believe they can do it before He can tell them what to do. See, He had to convince old Gideon. Gideon was sitting there threshing wheat. He had an inferior loser mentality, really. And God had to stir him up. He said, "Oh, hail thou mighty man of valor." Gideon's looking around thinking, "Who in the world are you talking to?" And He had to stir him up and get him to see himself as God saw him, that victory was possible, not only possible, but victory was going to happen. And really, he really broke that thing down. Gideon had all these men and, you know, looking like it was the natural, he might be able to make it. And then he got them down to 300 men. He kept saying, "That's too many men. That's way too many men." But finally, it got down to where Gideon was convinced that victory was there. And when he got that straight, he sent them out. David saw things differently. I mean, he saw the giant just like the rest of Israelites saw the giant. They looked at him and says, "My God, he's so big, there's nobody can beat this guy." David said, "My God, he's so big, I can't miss him."
Amen.
Hello?
That's right.
David didn't consider failing. He didn't consider losing. He didn't consider Goliath being able to beat him. He said, "Who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?"
Amen.
When he'd see a bear was just in his way. The bear had to die. If he saw a lion, the lion had to die. Him dying wasn't an option. Him losing wasn't an option. He didn't see the bear as his destruction, or the lion as his destruction, or Goliath as his destruction. He saw them just as an opportunity to win for God and win big. He saw them as a testimony. You say, "Well, yeah, but he had all those weapons." Yeah, and he told him that. He told Goliath, he said, "You come to me with a spear and a shield and sword, I come to you in the name of the Lord." He saw things from God's perspective. That no spear, no shield, no sword was as great as the name of the Lord. Well, don't you know about cancer? I know all about cancer. I know it's real. I know it kills people. But I also know Jesus is Lord, not cancer. I see the cancer like everybody else sees the cancer. Are you with me? But you know, I also know this, that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. I hear the report like everybody else hears the report. You hear the report like everybody else hears the report. But see, we come to the table with something totally different than the world comes with. We come from this perspective that nothing is impossible to God and nothing is impossible to him that believeth. So although we see everything out here, we got a different pair of glasses on here. Are you with me? Woo, this is good stuff. So these spies, and he names them off. I always like to take a moment and go through this because there's only two of these that you know about. Mm-hmm. Caleb and Joshua. There's only two of these guys we still name our kids after. That's just two of them. That's all. There's a lot of Calebs around today. People still name their boys Caleb. Joshua, still, you know some Joshuas. You know some Calebs, don't you? Let me ask you this. You know who Shamu is? There's a Shamu the well. That's it. Yeah. You know his Shaphats? How about Egals? How about Palti? Anybody know any Gadiels? Any Gadis or Amiels? How about some Sethers and some Nabis? You know any Nabis? You know a Geuelil? I can't even pronounce that word. Those were the names of the 10 men that didn't believe God. And you know, people didn't name their kids after them. Think about it. They weren't even remembered. You go through here and look at their names, you think, my, what weird names. But in that same bunch was Caleb and Joshua. They don't even sound weird, do they? But at that time when these guys had names, they were just as common as Caleb and Joshua. But since they didn't believe God, they weren't remembered. Hello. That's powerful when you think about it. I mean, and if you ask anybody just, you know, that hasn't just really, Bible trivia question here, hadn't really just studied this thing, could you name any one of the other spies besides Caleb and Joshua? Just on a whim, I don't think you could do that. I couldn't do that. Because you don't remember those people. Nobody picked up their names and kept naming their kids that. Are you with me? Ooh, hallelujah. The memory of the just is blessed, the Bible says. And that means their memory is blessed. Not their mind memory, but the memory of them is blessed. We remember David, don't we? We remember Joshua. We remember Caleb. Well, anyway, he sent them out. 17th verse. Y'all with me here? Okay, good. I appreciate y'all staying with me. 17th verse says, then Joshua sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. 18th verse, and see what the land is like. This is gathering information for the battle plan. This is not gathering information to see if they win or not. This is just gathering information to see what their strategy would be, what their battle plan would be, how they would approach it, and who they would hit first and second, third, so on and so forth. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, 19th verse, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are camps or strongholds. See, this is like a general getting information. That's what he's doing. A little espionage going on here, spying out the land. Joshua did the same thing. He sent two spies into Jericho, you know, in the book of Joshua when they crossed the Jordan before they did and took the city. He sent two spies in there to check it out. They came back and says, well, the wall's here and this, that, and this, here, this, here, this, all. And they got their plan together. See, that's all that was. It was just an information gathering thing. They weren't trying to figure out whether they could win or not. And, you know, when you go into the Bible, you're not going into the Bible to find out if it's true or not. Of course it's true. You go into it to find out what your strategy is. Amen. What your battle plan is. You don't go into it to see if you can have what God said you can have. You can't have what God says you can't have. You don't even go into it to see if you believe it. You do believe it. You're a believer. That's what you do believe. I believe. You believe. This is what we believe. I go into it to formulate my plan. Y'all need to think about that one. Amen? Well, do I believe that or not? Of course you do. You're a believer. There it is, right there. You believe that. Well, what'd I do? You go into it to find out what to do to get it. Not to find it if you can have it. If it's in here, you can have it. Ooh, hallelujah. See, that's an attitude of victory. That's the lens of victory. Let's put this on. Read the Bible. Amen? You see it from that perspective. God's word's true. We know that. God means what he says. We already know that. We can have whatever God says we can have. We know that before we ever go into it. So now when we go and look at it, we look at it from that standpoint. God's not a man, he'd lie, and a son of man, he'd repent. Why do I read the Bible? I don't read the Bible to find out if I believe. I read the Bible to find out what I believe. Okay, I hope you're writing notes. Some of us need to chew on. So they went in to get information. 20th verse, whether the land's rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage. Be of good courage. That's what Moses told them right before they left. And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Now this is how they were sent out. 12 spies, 12 rulers, 12 heads, chiefs, to go out and just check out the land so they can have their strategy and get their plan together. This is just the way we do things. This is the way you should do things. You need to know what God says. You need to take a little trip in here, spy out the land. Go read it. Check it out. See what it says. Amen. And then you need to go get it.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen. Right.
Now, if you don't go in there and read it, you don't go check it out, you don't spy it out, you're probably not going to get it.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility you go and read it and spy it out and still not get it if you don't believe it when you read it. If you go in with the wrong attitude, go in with the wrong perspective, the wrong pair of glasses on. Because although it's all in there, we all see the same things. A lot of churches see the same thing. It's all in there. But some believe it and some don't. Some think they can have it and some think they can't have it. Caleb and Joshua, they just believe they can have it. Amen? 21st verse through the 25th verse, they spied out the land. It says they went and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. They went up through the south and came to Hebron and Ahiman and Sheshai and Tamai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. It was so big they carried it between two of them on a pole. This way my boy goes hog hunting. No, Chris will go hog hunting, and son-in-laws, and Ryan, and Clinton, and you know, and Brad, and all of them go hog hunting, and they'll surround a hog with the dogs, you know, and they'll bark at them, and they'll let loose some other dogs that catch them. They got catch dogs and bay dogs, and when the catch dogs catch them, they come up behind them, and they duct tape their feet, the hog's feet. And then they duct tape the front feet. Hello. And then they pry the dog off, you know, and they put a pole between the legs and carry them out. Now, a lot of them will throw them up on a four-wheeler, but they carried them out with poles. Takes two of them, one on each end to carry them out. Dale, you been. I mean, y'all hadn't caught one yet, though, have you, when you've gone? It's going to happen. But anyway, just keep going. You'll get one. You can have it. You can get that hog in the name of Jesus. We believe it. This cluster of grapes was so big. You can see them carrying a hog out like this. But this cluster of grapes was so big. Grapes were so big. They had somebody with a pole carry the grapes out. Woo! Oh, that's just too good to be true. That's the way a lot of people look at the Bible, isn't it? That's just too good to be true. Well, it's still true, nonetheless. Too good or not, it's the truth. And it says they carried out it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. My wife would be fighting them over the pomegranates. I don't have that kind of patience to eat pomegranates. But anyway, the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses, 26 verse. And Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back word to them. Everybody say, brought back word. Okay. Words are powerful things. Powerful things. They make or break you. There's life and death in the power of the tongue, the Bible says. It's important that when we bring back word, we bring back the right word. God's word, nothing else. These men added something to it. They slapped their opinion on it. Hello. And boy, that's the last thing a preacher needs to do, slap his opinion on this thing. I always say this, you're not obligated to believe anything I say. That's not scriptural. But if it's scriptural, you believe it. If I added something to it, and I'm good about usually telling you this is my opinion. I don't know about this for sure, but you know, I think this. But what really matters is what God says. And it's no good quoting me. You need to be able to quote the scripture. You need to know where the scripture says that. Where is that in the Bible? Hello. Okay, so they brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. Truly, it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Now, I want you to pay real close attention. There's 10 negative reports here. 10 guys brought back an evil report. 2 guys brought back a good report. These 10 men that brought back this negative report gave one verse that was a good report, followed by 5 that were bad reports. They actually spoke 5 verses of negativity to 1 verse of good. And never a victory does that make. Hello.
Amen.
It just doesn't work that way. They first said it was a good land, flows of milk and honey, this is the fruit, but. Nevertheless, just means but. And you know when you say but, that just negates everything you just said. Oh, it's all great, but. Oh, here we go. It's wonderful, but you can't have it. Hello. I like to bring out that we're sheep, not goats. Goats, but. Sheep say, yes, say man. They looked at the word and they didn't say, yes, say man. They said, but. Oh, I know God says it, but. I know God prompts, but. I know it looks good, but. You ever heard that? We hear that constantly. Well, I know I would like to do, but. Somebody comes along and says, but. You know, those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. Everybody's criticizing the person trying to row the boat. Everybody's trying to stop the guy's trying to make it from making it. Everybody's got 1,000 reasons why you can't do what God says you can do. Joshua and Caleb were outnumbered. 10-2. Hello. They were outnumbered 5-1 if you break it down. Just like the verses or the report that the negative spies brought was 5-1 negative. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all the Perizzites. Thought I'd throw that in. Dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Caleb jumped in the middle of this, and they still weren't through. They had 3 more verses to go. Caleb jumped in the middle of this. He stopped. Whoa. He said he quieted the people. Now, I don't think Caleb could have easily done that. I don't think he could have just, you know, diplomatically done that. I don't think Caleb could just ease up. I think I'd like to say something here. I think Caleb had to get up and say, whoa, whoa. He quieted them and the people, quieted everybody. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. This is what Caleb said. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. In other words, he understood the situation. Caleb understood the times. He understood people's nature. And he knew if they didn't go right now, they're going to talk themselves right out of it. And they did. They talked themselves right out of the Canaan land. They talked themselves out of the promise. Just like we do. If we're not careful, we'll talk ourselves right out of God's Word. Right out of the promise of God's Word. Right out of something God said we can have. We'll begin to talk and reason and put these glasses, the wrong glasses on. Are you with me? And start looking at all the obstacles as if they were predictors of our future, as if they were forecasters, as if they were perfect prophets. I mean, all these things going on bad or prophesying our doom, gloom, and destruction. But God's Word says we're going to make it. And if we put the wrong pair of glasses on, even though we all see the same thing, we're not going to have the right outcome. We're not going to have the same outcome. They looked at it from the standpoint of, we can't have this. Caleb looked at it from the standpoint, we can't have this. And it doesn't matter how big the giants are. And it doesn't matter how walled the cities are. And it doesn't matter how much weapons they have. And it doesn't matter how many people there are. Our God said He would give it to us. So really, nothing else matters. Caleb saw the same things they saw. Joshua saw the same things they saw. Caleb saw all the obstacles. He saw all the cities. He saw all the walls. He saw all the giants. He saw everything they had. He saw everything that the other guy saw. But it didn't sway him because that didn't have anything to do with whether he would win or not. Caleb looked at all that from the standpoint, God's going to give me all this. Like David looked at that giant and says, I can't miss this guy. He's too big to miss. Are you with me? And notice this, just like David, Caleb got his confession straight before he ever went into battle. Before he ever started it, he said he was going to make it. He said he was going to overcome. See, there's an attitude of victory. William James, he was a psychiatrist. I'm not in psychiatry, stay with me, but there is some good in psychiatry. There are some Christian psychologists. But he said that your belief at the beginning of any project determines its outcome. Now, that's right, not because he said it. It's right because God said it before he did. Are you with me? How do you see yourself? How do you start this thing out? You know, adversity either does a couple things. It causes some people to break down. It causes others to break records. Now, 10 of these guys broke down. 2 of these guys broke some records. They lived another 40 years and went and took it. They waited till they were just too old for anybody to do anything, and they went in and took the land that the young guys 40 years earlier couldn't even take when they were young. Yeah. They broke some records. So you can break down or you can break some records. I'm going to break some records. How about you? He stilled the people, quieted the people before Moses, and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome." 31st verse, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we.'" Yeah, man for man, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God on our side. They don't have God. We have God's promise. They don't have it. We have God's word. They don't have it. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to stay in the natural and just look at these things with these humanistic glasses on, and you're just going to put on this existential glasses and be a realist and just let the facts speak for themselves. Well, let me tell you something. Facts don't have a mind. They don't even have an opinion. How are they going to speak for themselves? You have got to read something into the facts. That's what we do every day. We look at the facts and we read into them. Facts are just facts. They don't have a mind. They don't have predictions. They're just events. They're just things that happen. That's all. They don't predict the future. You predict the future. You read into it something. You see it from a pessimistic standpoint or an optimistic standpoint. You see it from the Word of God or you see it from a defeatist standpoint or from what the devil's telling you. You see a crisis and a way to go under or you see an opportunity and a way to go over. Hello? Well, I just let the facts speak for themselves. Let the evidence speak for itself. Evidence cannot speak for itself. Where do we get that idea? You go into everything with a mindset. You go into every situation with an attitude. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You take a guy with the right attitude, you can't stop him. You take a guy with the wrong attitude, you can't help him. I know people I've tried to minister to. I mean, I've tried to minister, preach to them, tell them what to do. Just take the word, you can get over this thing, and they will not accept. They will not, nothing you say, nothing you do is going to change them. Their mind's made up. Then you take somebody that's in the biggest mess they've ever been in all their life, the biggest wreck, you know, of life and addictions and so on, and they humble themselves and they say, "I want some help. I'm calling out to God, help. Can you help me?" Listen, somebody like that, God can help and you can help. These guys could not be helped. They had determined the outcome before and their determination is wrong. What they predicted was wrong because it was against the word. Amen. 31st verse, the men, bad report. They'd gone with him and said, "We are not able to go up against this people. They are stronger than we." And gave the children of Israel a bad report. King James says evil report. It is evil. It's an evil, bad report when you tell someone they can't have what God says they can have. When you tell someone they can't do what God says they can do, and when you tell someone they are not who God says they are, that is a bad report. God forbid and shame on you and shame on me. To tell someone they can't make it. To tell someone they can't believe God. Tell someone they can't be forgiven. Tell someone they can't come in and change their life. Come on in to the promised land. Are you with me? God forbid we do that. Have spied out, we who know the word, we who have spied out the land, we who come back and bring the report, God forbid we would come back with a report saying, "You can't have what God says you can." Woo, we are here to herald the opening, the way, the gate open. We're here to say, "Come on in." Amen. That's what we're here for. Preach the good news. To point the way out. Hallelujah. It says here, 32nd verse, they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw under are men of great stature." We know people who have tried to believe like they believe over there. We know people who have tried to pray about situations and just denied everything going on, and they've lost home and family and everything. Don't you go down that road. I know about that name it and claim it bunch. I know about that blab it and grab it bunch. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of labels, and you know, labels are just... they're just things that people put on things to help them categorize and make them sound intelligent. Nobody knows what we believe unless they come and listen to what we believe. Do we name things? Of course we name. We name the name of Jesus. Of course we call. We call on Jesus. Of course there's things that we blab and grab. But that's said sarcastically. That's said out of context. That's not said in the context of the way we preach and teach it. Are you with me? I mean, you can. I believe you can confess and possess or doubt and do without. But I also know there's a balance with that. I understand that, you know. Okay. So it says bad report. Bad report. Can't have it. No way. Can't do what God says we can do. It's just too hard believing God and trusting God. It's too hard, preacher, standing on the word. It's too hard serving God. Just too hard. Big bad devil out there. 33rd verse. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. Listen, here's where they told the tale. This is what happened. Now I know why, and you know why when you look at this. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Well, they may have been in their sight, but you know, it doesn't matter how people see you. It does matter how you see you. It doesn't even matter what people say about you, but it does matter what you say about you. Hello. Now, I'm not advocating that you can just have a positive attitude and everything's going to be all right. I'm not advocating mind over matter. We're not talking about just raising your self-esteem. We're talking about seeing yourself the way God sees you and having the attitude that what God's Word said is true. Hello. Positive, yes. Well, positive based on the Word, though. Not positive just based on the power of the will or the power of the mind. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the power of God's Word. They had God's Word. Before Moses sent them out, he told them, God is giving this to you. That's really all they needed to hear. That's what they should have. That's the glass they should have put on when they looked at those giants. God's giving this to me. When they looked at that walled city, oh, God's going to give us that.
Amen.
Oh, God's going to give us that too. That's what he said. The basis of success is what God says. And you've got to win this thing. You've got to win this thing in your heart and in your mind before you ever enter into it. Because that's where it starts, is the way you see yourself. You know, of course, I'm quoting all these quotes. Might as well quote Sun Tzu in The Art of War. That's a good one. You often wonder how you bring Sun Tzu and The Art of War into a sermon, but I did. I always thought this was really good because it's true biblically. It's true because God backs it up, not because Sun Tzu says it. Anytime you hear quotes, understand this. Quotes and people, wise people who have said things, don't make the Bible true. The Bible either backs up what they say or not, and what they say is true because it's biblical. The Bible's not true because they say so. But I think it's interesting the way people say things over the centuries and recognize truth. And I know it's true because the Bible says it. Are you with me? Art of War, this is good. Sun Tzu says this, when your strategy is deep and far-reaching, then what you gain by your calculations is much, so you can win before you even fight. When your strategic thinking is shallow and nearsighted, then what you gain by your calculations is little, so you lose before you battle. Much strategy prevails over little strategy, so those with no strategy cannot but be defeated. Therefore, it is said that victorious warriors win first, then they go to war. While defeated warriors go to war first and just hope to win and lose. You got to win this thing before you start it. And see, the good news is we've already won it. That's what Caleb was saying. We've already won the deal. He won it before he fought it because his strategy was real simple. If God said it, we can do it. If God says it, it's ours.
That's right.
We may have to do this or this or that or that, but winning, oh, we're going to win. We've already won it. We're already more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can already do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God has always caused us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So whatever struggle comes, whatever battle comes, whatever trial comes, whatever crisis hits, I've already won in Christ in here. Now I'm just going to go make it happen. Amen? I am well able to overcome.
Amen.
Woo! Y'all getting this? Well, the quicker you get it, the quicker I'll let you go. Well, they believed God, and the 10 spies didn't believe God. They believed they could do it and have what God says they could have, Joshua and Caleb. 10 spies believed they couldn't have what God said they could have. And they were both right. They're both right and they both got what they said. Those say they can, those say they can't, are both right. If you don't believe you can have God's word and his promises, you won't. I can say this without any reservation. If you believe God's word and you believe his promises and you believe God will do what he says concerning your situation, you will get what God says. I can say that without reservation. I can also say, if you do not believe that God's word is true or that it will not work for you and that he will not come through for you, I can guarantee he won't come through for you. Those say they can, those say they can't, both right. Because victory is an attitude. It's what you bring to the table. It's the perspective you look at things. It's the lens that you look through. Now, we ought to have this pair of glasses on all the time. God's word is true. We can find it. It can happen. We are well able to overcome. Woo! That's an attitude of victory.
Amen.
Got the right attitude, nobody can stop you. Because God's on your side, amen? Got the wrong one, nobody can help you. So the biggest changes are in here. They're in your heart. They're personal victories. They're victories of your faith. And it's a fight of faith. But if you get that straight, you can win the battles. You can be a Caleb. You can be a Joshua. And you can go in. They did go in. It might have took a while, but they went in. And it may take a while for you, but you can go in too. Amen?